Grace, greetings, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 1st of June. I'm your host, Paul White. Glad to be with you. Top of the 6th month of the year, top of the 6th chapter of the book of Galatians. Quick reminder, yesterday we did the Deeper Daily Podcast essay edition from the month of May. You can check that out at our website, all the platforms where you listen to the podcast. Also, tomorrow night we'll be doing a home meeting in Tehachapi, California. And details on our website. If you're in the Southern California area, come see me. And then we go on the road for a 4-service weekend. Next weekend, we are going north of the border to Canada. Here's the quick details on that. Of course, it's all at our website, but let me give you the rundown. Starting next Friday, June 8th, Saturday, June 9th, Sunday, June 10th, we will be in Wallaceburg, Ontario, Canada, at Father's Voice Christian Family Ministry. This is formerly known as Times of Refreshing Church. And that is located at 222 LaFontaine Street in Wallaceburg, Ontario. The spring conference happens Friday night, June 8th at 7. I'll be speaking each one of these services, by the way. Friday night, June 8th at 7 p.m. These are Eastern time. Saturday, June 9th at 10 a.m., lunch following. Saturday, June 9th at 7 p.m. and Sunday, June 10th at 10 a.m. That's 4 services next weekend in Wallaceburg, Ontario, Canada. Visit our website, paulwhiteministries.com/schedule for more information. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself lest you also be tempted. As is the nature of the study of the Bible, that takes a little longer than 5, 6, 7 minutes sometimes to really unpack the power of a verse, both by itself and within its context. And so I won't even operate under the illusion that we will finish the first verse today on the first day of the month. Paul, having laid out, and we do this over and over again because it's so important to remember your context, having just come fresh off the heels of his walking in the Spirit passage, in which he tells the listener at Galatia what it means to live a life according to the new covenant versus a life according to the old covenant. The old covenant he calls flesh or Hagar or Ishmael or the Jerusalem, which now is, or Sinai in Arabia. These are all statements he uses beginning in the 4th chapter on. And now you are not living under any of that. You're living in the new covenant. Thus, you're living life in the Spirit. And if you're going to live in that Spirit, you have to walk in the Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to do what He does. And in light of that, this is how chapter 5 ends. Don't become conceited and provoke one another and envy one another. Let's live this life in the Spirit. Let's not lord it over people. Let's not use it to our advantage, which would really be to our disadvantage. And when you see someone who is overtaken in any trespass, this is a failure. We often call them moral failures, but I find it of first interest how Paul deals with trespass in the life of the Spirit. We're not talking about someone failing and that takes them back into the flesh. Paul does not indicate here that when a man sins, he ceases to walk in the Spirit. But rather, brethren, if someone trespasses among you, those of you who are spiritual, restore that one. What does he mean by those of you who are spiritual? If not, we are understanding we are walking in the Spirit, and we're dealing with a lot of people who don't understand what that means. And so part of the life of walking in the Spirit is not to lord our walk, our authority, our knowledge, or our liberty over our neighbor, but to take that knowledge, liberty, and authority, and help those who aren't understanding what it means to walk in the Spirit. Some of them are going to be overtaken by a trespass. I think we're missing the point. Well, that's probably not the right phrase. I think we're missing the boat a little bit sometimes when we get in these arguments in the church, particularly in the Grace Church, about whether or not people can sin under the new covenant. I get that question sometime at Q&A. I go, well, you know, since the sin that undoes us is unbelief, do all other sins not matter because we contain the seed of God, so therefore we can't sin, John said. what does that mean? Does it mean we never fail? Or if we fail, is it not considered failure in the eyes of God? And I think sometimes we're missing that Paul realized that people still sin. Just because they're walking in the Spirit doesn't mean they don't fail. That's why in 1 John, when John talks about if a man has the seed of God in him, he doesn't sin. The tense there is perfect tense. He doesn't keep sinning. Of course, John doesn't mean he doesn't fail. So when Paul opens Galatians 6, yes, people fail. They fail. They trespass even when they're walking in the Spirit. It doesn't mean you'll never fail if you walk in the Spirit. I totally disagree with people who, and I respectfully disagree. Their heart's in the right place. I just don't theologically think it's sound that say, well, you'll never fail again when you keep your faith in the cross, and you'll know your faith's not in the cross if you fail. Well, I don't buy that. Paul doesn't say in Galatians 6 that if you've walked in the Spirit in Galatians 5, you're never going to fail. No, instead he says, even if you're walking in the Spirit, when you have someone among you who trespasses, those of you who are spiritual, that doesn't mean those of you who live in the misty, invisible realms of the Spirit, lofty and above all everyone. No, those of you who are living and walking in the Spirit, understanding what covenant you live in, freed from the Hagar Ishmael performance of the flesh, restore your brother. Bring him back into that knowledge. Pick him up. Help him out. He has fallen. He has failed, but he is not a failure. And those of you who live in the realm of the Spirit will know that. Those of you who are dwelling in the realm of the flesh will kill the guy. And then the last thing you want in the church is to fail in the middle of a bunch of fleshly people. And by fleshly, I don't mean a bunch of people committing fornication and getting drunk. I mean a bunch of people who rely on the strong arm of their performance to determine their anointing, their favor, and their value. Fail in front of those people and they'll cut your head off. And that's what Paul means, I believe, when he says, those of you who are spiritual, restore such a one. You, dear God, you're going to want people who understand life in the Spirit to get on your side when you fail, because without those on your side, you're in trouble. You don't want the other. You don't want those relying on the strong armor of the flesh. There's some more meat in that first verse we'll start to work on tomorrow. We'll see you then. God bless.